progress.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And thank you, Ryan. Beautiful as always. Welcome to worship here, whether you're here in the sanctuary with us this morning or whether you're joining us online. We're blessed to be together. This is the third Sunday after Pentecost in Pride Month. So the United Church of Canada's moderator, Reverend Kimberly Heath, has a special Pride message for us to watch as we gather here together. Are we doing that first? Okay. Here we go.
Friends in Christ, as we gather this Pride season, we do so with honesty, humility, and hope. In 2025, the United Church of Canada offered an apology to 2S and LGBTQIA plus people and communities. An apology that named real harm, harm done through words and actions, through silence and delay, through systems that failed to protect, affirm, and cherish God's beloved people. That apology did not erase the past, nor did it arrive at the same place in the journey for everyone. Some received it with relief, some with grief, some with caution, and for some it came far too late. Today we honor the full truth of those stories, the stories of heartbreak, fear, and exclusion, and also the stories of courage, solidarity, love, and joy. We remember those who were pushed away from the church, and we lift up those who stayed and worked, often at great personal cost, to bend the church closer to justice. Pride is not only celebration, it is remembrance, it is resistance. It is a witness to the fierce holiness of people who refuse to believe that who they are was a mistake. We affirm again and without hesitation every gender identity, every sexual orientation, every expression of self rooted in love and authenticity is a divine gift. Radical belonging is not an optional value of the church. It is the core to the gospel we proclaim. The apology was not an ending, it was a threshold. The work of healing, accountability, and transformation continues in our worship, our governance, our theology, and our daily lives. May we be a church that does not grow weary of learning, that acts with courage, and that lives into love with deeds as well as words. May Pride remind us of who we are called to be, a people mending what has been broken, and rejoicing in the beautiful diversity of God's creation. Amen. Happy Pride.
That, Brad, wonderful, wonderful message. If you haven't gotten your ham and strawberry dinner tickets, now's the time. See Mary Jane today, give her a call. We will have advance tickets only for the meal on Saturday, June 20th. Tickets this year are $25 or $12 for kids under 10. And don't forget to invite family, friends, and neighbors to attend. And a reminder that our summer services will be here before we know it. June 28th, we will be at Dundas Center with Mark Richardson leading the service. It and all services in January will be at 10:30.
July.
Gosh. I just said summer and then I said January. I don't know what's going on in my head. Whoops. So, in July, 10:30, Dundas Street Center. If you're driving, the church's parking lot is off Maitland or at the high school lot off Dundas. And we'll be back at Roundtree in August. It's August. So today we pray for Cottam United Church. I'm not sure where that is. Anybody? Near Windsor. So that we think of them today. So here, those are our welcome and announcements for today. Over to you, Joanne.
Thank you, Catherine. And thank you for taking my place as lay liturgist today.
Oh, well, we're a dynamic duo today. You're welcome.
Please join me Join me in the greeting and blessing. May God be with you.
And also with you.
And we acknowledge the territories. Since time immemorial, Indigenous peoples have occupied and cared for this land, the country we know as Canada, from coast to coast to coast. Indigenous peoples have lived and journeyed on this land, weaving their identity and their spirituality intimately with the land. We acknowledge and give thanks to the land on which we live and work, and to the people who have cared for it. As settlers, we acknowledge this area as the traditional home of the Anishinaabe, the Ojibwe or Chippewa Nation, the Haudenosaunee, the Iroquois and the Oneida Nation, the Lenapawak, the Delaware people, the Attawandaron, the Neutral Nation or Algonquin people, and the Wendat, the Huron people, who loved and cared for this land. Being able to give thanks to the stewards of the land who came before us, and being able to reflect on the meaning of treaties made, is an honor. With the spirit of reconciliation, we must commit to learning more about Indigenous communities and sharing our learnings with our children, our families, and our communities. As a community of faith, we seek to rebuild right relations with the First Nations, Métis and Inuit peoples, to learn from them and to live on this land, their land, with respect and gratitude for its creation and creator. This is our commitment. We pray for the Holy Spirit to breathe healing, justice, hope, compassion into all our relations.
We light the Christ candle, recognizing Christ is present in and throughout this community. As we light this candle, we celebrate how God delights in our bodies beautifully made, and we witness to the Spirit's power in this sacramental moment where God's grace and love meet us.
Let us join together in singing hymn number 374 from Voices United, Come and Find the Quiet Center. Please join with me in the call to worship. Raise your voices in response to God's goodness. We praise you, O Lord, for all the blessings you have given us. Lift our hearts in a sweet surrender to God's mercy. We thank you, O Lord, for hearing the prayers of our hearts. God is good. Praise be to God. The love and mercy of God never fails. Let us pray. Lord, this day we will hear of the miracles that have inspired people to be your disciples. We will hear of the disciples who are given the mandate to heal, to raise the dead, to proclaim the kingdom and the good news of God's redeeming love. We stand in that long line of those who are called. We are ready to work for you that this broken world may be healed. Hear us as we pray in one voice. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our time with God, God's children. As I remind you, Wendy has written this whole service and forwarded it to me to deliver. So she's done all the work. All I'm doing is reading. Have you ever had anyone ask you to take an office in the church? Have they ever said, "There's not much work to do"? Then you discover after taking the office that a lot is expected of you. In today's scripture from Matthew, Jesus is aware of all that has to be done. He gives the disciples power to heal and to cast out demons. Then he sent them out with the following instructions. Don't go to the Gentiles. Go to the people of Israel. Cast out demons. Heal the sick and those afflicted. Don't take money for your work. You got these gifts of healing for free. Depend on people to provide for you, your food or clothing, whatever you might need. In each village, find someone who is worthy and stay with them until it's time for you to leave. When you go to a house that is worthy of your blessing, give it to them. However, if they won't receive your blessing, shake the dust off your feet as you leave the house and move on. I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. Watch out for people because they will hand you over to councils and beat you in their synagogues. They will hand you over to the regional authorities and demand that you give your testimony to the Gentiles. Don't worry. Even in the midst of your trials, God is with you. Don't worry about what you will say because the Holy Spirit will do the talking through you. Everyone will hate you on account of my name, but whoever stands firm till the end will be saved. Whenever they harass you in one city, escape to the next. Although this list has been somewhat limited, the idea is this. It's not going to be easy to be a disciple. Being part of a faith community will place some demands on the participant. You are called by Christ to go forth, to help others, to seek ministries of justice, to be people who truly care about others. This is no less in the church. When you are asked to do something, it's because someone has seen in you the abilities to perform that task. A depth of faith which is needed. Christ is calling each one of you. Are you ready to dare the road? Remember, God is always with you. You will not be alone, and you will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Ready? Let's go. Let's pray together. Dear God, help us to be good disciples. When we doubt ourselves, may we remember that you have given us many talents and gifts for doing the work of love. Justice and mercy in your world.
Justice and mercy in your world.
Help us to dare the road.
Help us to dare the road.
In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus'
Amen.
Name we pray.
Amen. Let us sing together hymn number 639 from Voices United, One More Step Along the World I Go.
So now we listen for God's word. Our First Testament reading today is from Genesis 18, 1 to 15, and this is from the New International Version. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so that you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried to the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get 3 seahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice, tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. Then he brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While he ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, how will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not laugh. But he said, yes, you did laugh. Now we turn to the gospel reading found in Matthew 9, verse 35 to Matthew 10, verse 8. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into this harvest field. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Amen.
Holy One, breathe your spirit into us again, that we may have life as people who know we are not alone. The Spirit comes to us with mercy, with healing, with new beginnings. In Christ we are forgiven. In the Spirit we are empowered. In God's love we are made whole. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
The Gospel reading for the third Sunday after Pentecost presents a pivotal moment in Jesus' ministry, the moment when his work empowers his followers to expand his ministry. As he moves through towns and villages, teaching and healing, he is moved with compassion for the crowds, people who are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. This moment leads to the commissioning of the 12, sending them out to extend his mission. These verses capture the heart of discipleship, responding to the needs of the people, relying on God's provision, and carrying forth the work of healing and restoration. To do this, Jesus' disciples need to imitate their Lord. This passage challenges us to see discipleship not as passive belief, but as active participation in the work of restoration. Jesus' ministry, as described in Matthew 9:35, is holistic. He teaches in synagogues, proclaims the good news of the kingdom, and heals every disease and affliction. His compassion for the people is not abstract. It moves him to action. He sees their suffering, their lostness, and recognizes their need for leadership and care. Depending on our church traditions and the nations we reside in, gospel work that focuses on healing and justice can be suspect, seen as social justice, disconnected from the proclamation of the good news. Similarly, some ministries focus their work entirely on the teaching and proclamation of the gospel, with very little thought towards justice and healing. Jesus shows us that the work of the compassionate shepherd is holistic and integral. The preaching of the gospel is never separated from the embodied work of the gospel to bring healing and wholeness. There is a crisis of leadership, according to Matthew's telling of the story. The people of Israel are like sheep without a shepherd. But the Jewish religious leaders of the day were supposed to be the shepherds of the people. The people of Jesus' day were oppressed, downtrodden, beat up, and crushed. The historical and literary contexts indicate Rome and the religious elite as those who inflict social, economic, political, and religious abuse with misrule. This vacuum of leadership is what Jesus and his disciples step into. What is needed is new leadership for a renewed community. An indigenous reading of this text cannot help but highlight the confluence of understanding around what it means to be a leader. In many indigenous cultures, leadership is not about hierarchy. Who am I in charge of? But about service. Who can I help? A true leader is one who cares for the people, ensuring their well-being. Much like a wisdom keeper or medicine man, Jesus responds to the needs of the people, embodying a leadership that is deeply relational and motivated by compassion. Jesus' statement about the harvest being plentiful but the laborers being few speaks to a deep spiritual and communal reality. The needs are great, but there are not enough workers to meet the needs. This is not merely about numerical scarcity. It is about the willingness of people to step into the work of the kingdom. Jesus calls his disciples to pray that God will send out laborers, an act of faith that acknowledges both the magnitude of the task and the necessity of divine provision. Immediately after this charge to pray, Jesus commissions the 12 to this work. This means that the request for prayer was as much about seeking God's will as it was preparing their own hearts and minds for the reality that they will be a part of the answer to their own prayer. Sometimes their prayers are an urgent petition for God to do what only God can do in the world. Other times, prayer is aligning our hearts with God's will for us, to do what God asks of us. Matthew 10:1-8 describes Jesus' commissioning of the 12. He gives them authority over unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal every disease and affliction. Their mission is not self-directed. They are sent specifically to the lost sheep of Israel to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven has come near and to enact this reality through healing and restoration. Their work is not for personal gain, but for the restoration of balance and well-being among Israel. The Jewish renewal movement begun by John the Baptizer now extends into the work of Jesus' disciples as they are sent out and told to focus in the first instance on Israel, as God chose Abraham and his descendants to receive his blessing, and for them in turn to be a blessing to the nations. Yet even with the charge to avoid Gentiles and Samaritans, the disciples will yet be a witness to Gentiles, and the context of his directive is already couched within a narrative opening that highlights righteous Gentiles in the genealogy, the magi of the birth narrative, and the faith of the Roman centurion. Within this narrative setting and within the framework of Jesus as medicine man, Jesus' directive to go only to Israel is because it is Israel who is in need of medicine and strength to live into their divine role. The disciples' mission is deeply restorative. They are sent to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, and drive out demons. This is not just about physical healing, but about restoring people to wholeness, socially, spiritually, and physically. Jesus' commission of the 12 challenges modern disciples to see faith as active participation in God's integral mission. The hope of healing, restoration, and justice is not confined to Jesus alone. It is entrusted to his followers. May we go and make it so. Amen. And now let us join together in singing Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, for more of some Voices United, 333. Let us pray. Today, we name and recognize the many gifts that are so generously given for the work and purpose of our community of faith. Hopefully, you will recognize yourself as both a receiver and a giver of many of these gifts. Today, we celebrate all the gifts cheerfully given and the gifts we humbly receive. Let us pray. We are grateful for the gifts of music, prayers, preaching, reading, and teaching. We offer gratitude for the gifts of caring, visiting, phoning, and reaching out to others. We are grateful for the knitters, crocheters, fixers, painters, light bulb changers, bakers, coffee makers, and gardeners. We offer gratitude for those who give technical support and manage the sound system. We think of the gifts of art, the decorators, the photographers, those who draw and make things with their hands. We are grateful for those who offer gifts of leadership, those who offer their collective wisdom and decision-making on boards, in committees, and in groups. We remember those who spend time engaging with all of God's children, of any age or stage. We offer gratitude for those who offer yoga, fitness, nature walks, fellowship, group discussions, and Bible study through this congregation. And yes, we offer thanks for the generous gifts of financial resources that make it possible for us to gather and worship as a community of faith, as a family of God. These financial resources sustain this beautiful, warm building that we call our church home. Gracious God, you have called us into discipleship, discipleship that requires action, that requires us to care for our neighbors and this world. May we continue to answer that call as we offer all of our gifts of time, talent, and spiritual gifts. Amen. Remembering that God's family is our family, let us reach out in love and gratitude as we present our offering for our community and for the world. Let us sing together our offertory response from More Voices, number 79, Spirit, Open My Heart.
Thank you.
Holy One, we know that there is much work to be done, far more than we ever imagined. We ask that you bless these gifts, that they may be used for the work you have set before us. For we place our lives and trust in you. Amen. And as we go into the world, let us sing hymn number 699 from Voices United, Live into Hope. As you leave this place, go with confidence in God's gracious love and mercy. Go, ready to proclaim the good news and serve God by caring for others. And may God, the Creator, the Christ, and the Comforter, be with you this day and all of your days. Amen.